This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
You're with myself, Julian Ng, and Joyce Goh of The Morning Run, and we're discussing the day's top business news. Joyce, this is, as you say, a story that plays on itself. It spawns just more and more stories coming out. So the U.S. Justice Department has presented evidence on Friday that one of its officials helped funnel funds sourced from Jolo into the U.S.
That's right. So this guy named George Higginbotham, who left the DOJ in August, pled guilty to using shell companies to bring about $74 million into the U.S. And according to court papers, the money was to fund a lobbying effort that sought to influence the department's investigations into 1MDB.
Now, I'm sure you've heard of MO1, but I bet you haven't heard of Individual One, right? Which is what the DOJ suit refers to, who matches up to the description of one Elliot Broidy, who's a friend of U.S. President Donald Trump. And this document shows that Broidy, who's a Republican fundraiser, engaged in contract to negotiate to represent Jolo in 2017, actually.
Well, Julian, yeah, you know this story, it's just the things that come out day by day. So recently now, what we're hearing is that the news articles are saying is that the suit describes a campaign by Jolo to move money into the U.S. to pay off people claiming that they could quash the 1MDB probe. And the effort into the U.S. was led by entertainer and businessman Pras Michel of the Fugees. Know him?
Wow.
According to the lawsuit. Yeah. And so Pras Michel and Higginbotham allegedly met with Jolo in September last year and decided the best way to channel the funds into the U.S. was to claim that they were for entertainment purposes, in air quotes, entertainment purposes.
Okay, so Higginbotham allegedly lied to a lot of questions when the U.S. banks began to ask questions about the funds being transferred. Some of the banks that Higginbotham lied to included Citibank, Morgan Stanley, and City National Bank of California. I'm sure some of the very big banks in the U.S. And also, Michel then would pass money to Individuals 1 and 2, mysterious people.
So Individual 1, I guess, is widely believed to be this Elliot Broidy, who is a Republican fundraiser and associate of Donald Trump. Also, Julian, remember the Wall Street Journal previously reported that Broidy had been negotiating with Jolo to earn as much as $75 million in fees if the Justice Department quickly drops its 1MDB investigations.
Okay, a lot of money there to buy, yeah. I guess, more art, more yachts and so on. Now, there's some related story to this, which is that Goldman is taking another 1MDB blow as the Fed is said to be setting up a probe.
Yeah, so I think the Fed is looking into how executives managed to dodge internal controls to help raise billions of dollars for 1MDB. And Bloomberg says this is according to people briefed on the matter. And, you know, as Goldman Sachs' main regulator, the Fed has broad authority to impose penalties or changes on the bank. And I think in a statement, the Fed Reserve said that it would refer criminal violations to the Department of Justice and exercise its own enforcement powers where warranted.
I think the whole house of cards is sort of tumbling after, you know, Goldman's former Southeast Asia boss, Tim Leisner, pled guilty to conspiring to launder a lot of money and bribing foreign officials in Malaysia as well as in the Middle East. And in doing so, Leisner has admitted that he hid details of the transactions from Goldman's legal and compliance staff. I'm just wondering what kind of light this would put Goldman Sachs in, right? Whether this is the kind of culture that is normal in the practices.
Well, Julian, you know, Leisner actually said that his behavior was in line with Goldman's culture. So he said that. And the U.S. Justice Department also noted this prioritization of deals over compliance at Goldman, particularly in Southeast Asia. So what this news article is saying is that they prioritize deals more than compliance. That's quite scary for a bank.
It is scary, and it's not lost on market investors as Goldman Sachs has lost a quarter of its value after falling again on Friday, and Goldman Sachs right now being hit on all sides. Also, I think, Joyce, there is another more suggestions for lawsuits coming up from a local DAP lawmaker, no less.
Yeah, so Lim Lip Eng, Member of Parliament for Kepong, said 1MDB should consider suing its former directors for damages. Lim said 1MDB's former bosses could have money stashed away globally and that, you know, the fund could apply for an injunction to freeze these assets.
I think they're taking the cue from FGV's recent lawsuit where FGV Holdings has filed lawsuit against former chairman Tan Sri Muhammad Izzat Abdul Samad, as well as former group president CEO Datuk Muhammad Emi Marvani. Yeah, they're seeking 7.7 million, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think Lim also brought up the possibility of 1MDB suing its former auditors for damages. Remember, if you look at the history of 1MDB's auditors, Julian, I think they went through quite a number.
Correct. Revolving door, there was Ernst and Young, was first external auditor for 1MDB. They were sacked after refusing to sign off, and KPMG took over in September 2010 and had its contract terminated about 3 years later. Deloitte was subsequently appointed but resigned. And then 1MDB actually appointed UK-based Parker Randall in January of this year and is currently being audited by PwC. I'm not sure if the auditors are very much culpable in this case because they had refused to sign off, right? So they were actually doing their jobs.
The first two, yeah. For Deloitte was, I think, in this case, was they resigned in 2016 after US DOJ lodged its complaint against the fund. So a lot of this is also like with new information coming to light. Perhaps the auditors say, oh, you know, we now have new information and we cannot be your auditors anymore, pursuant to all these new information.
Absolutely. 8:53 a.m. We have some quite a bit of media news as well, because in the headlines is that is there enough wow in Media Prima's TV shopping?
Okay.
This is in the light of Media Prima's latest round of retrenchment. Many asking what is Media Prima up to in its future to safeguard its growth?
Yeah, so according to The Edge, the answer could be CJ Wow Shop. So this is a home shopping joint venture with South Korean CJ Group that Media Prima has. And sources told The Edge that Media Prima will be allocating more slots for its direct-to-home shopping programs on its TV stations as the segment is showing a lot of promise.
So since its launch in 2016, CJ Wow has become one of Media Prima's most biggest sources of revenue. And I think that's not surprising because a lot of competition for content has gone to other places, right? People are sourcing more of their entertainment online. They're consuming entertainment in very different ways from the likes of YouTube and Netflix and even Facebook, right? Facebook has a lot of videos right now. So it's not a surprise that just by default, the content of Media Prima making way to CJ Wow.
Yeah, and well, although this segment is making a lot of, it's raking in revenue, I think the group is still loss-making. But what you're saying is that the home shopping segment recorded a far slimmer loss compared to other segments. So I guess this is, for them, this could be the potential push for them to improve their earnings, because definitely the earnings of Media Prima has been hit, as with other media, a lot of other media media players out there here in Malaysia. So what we could be seeing now is, you know, could it be a matter of time before more airtime on TV be given to segments that turns in a profit?
Yeah, okay. And also, I guess the question that's being raised right now is whether there'll be more retrenchments after the one that we saw last week, because Media Prima subsidiary Television Malaysia gave 190 employees three months retrenchment notice.
I think this was the third round of downsizing by Media Prima in 5 years, Julian. So it's definitely it's not just limited to Media Prima. I think it's happening all over in the media industry. I spoke to Datuk Wong Jun Wai from the Malay Mill, and he shared the challenges of the media industry and how he expected retrenchment. This was last year. He actually predicted there'll be more than, I mean, a lot of jobs going to be cut this year.
Is it
year.
From Malay Mail or the Star?
Malay Mail. He's talking about just the whole media industry as a whole. He predicted that last year and it is happening this year. If you missed the interview, you can listen to it on the BFM app.
Fantastic. And Wong Chun Wai is certainly not someone who is retrenched, but he's retiring from
Star. Oh, this is the CEO and Group MD of Star Media.
Star Media, right? It's, as of January 1st, 2019, he would no longer be with the Star.
Yeah, so this is Dato' Sri Wong Chun Wai. The person I spoke to on media was Dato' Wong Sai Wan from the Malay Mail. Okay. Yeah. So Dato' Sri Wong Chun Wai will be retiring effective January 1st, 2019. He's leaving the company after 34 years. And the last 5 years, he was CEO and Group MD. So he's kind of like a Star lifer. I think he worked his way up.
Yeah, all his life.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. And he said, I think the news that he's going to continue to serve as group advisor on editorial and corporate relations matters. I think people are still waiting for a successor. There still has not been any name yet. But looking at their earnings, Julian, I think their net profit fell 99% on year to 1.6 million ringgit for the third quarter. This is the most recent quarter.
Yep. And also, I think... I'm sure that media companies like the Star also at the crossroads as to what to do with all the competition, like Media Prima, right? They would have to think of what else to do. I think many times in the past, Joyce, you and I have spoken about their new ventures. Mm. I guess those will feature quite well as well.
Yeah, if you look at Star's net profit, it's been on a decline. From 2014, it was 111 million ringgit. It's dropped to 7 million ringgit for 2017.
Let's look quickly at this news. MAHB, Malaysian Airports, demands AirAsia cough up uncollected airport taxes.
Yeah, so this story is in the Edge Weekly. I think the long-running dispute between MAHB and AirAsia Group and AirAsia X regarding the two airlines' outstanding airport taxes for international departures, that has been reignited. I think there's a possibility now of a legal battle up in the air.
So the tax has been set at 73 bucks and AirAsia has been charging passengers only 50 bucks rate. So there is that 23 difference to make up for. Mm. And now, of course, they're disputing that amount.
Yeah, I think for context, from July to end September, AirAsia X carried some 1.5 million passengers. AirAsia Group carried 10.8 million passengers. But note that these figures included departures from other countries as well. So we can't really get an how much, you know, could be owed. But what they're looking at is a 23 ringgit difference for each passenger.
So this, as a background, came from the Malaysian Aviation Commission, where an equalization exercise was done, and that's when the new rates came into effect. Okay, we are coming up to the 9 o'clock hour, and the news is coming on, and we'll have news from the stock market after the news at 9 a.m. BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.